Thank you. It's good to be here this morning. And he mentioned my brother. Please don't hold that against me. My brother has a reputation for preaching a little longer than I do. And everybody said amen. But it is good to be here. I think this is the first time I have been at this church. I think some of my children that used to travel for PR for the college have been through here at times. But this is my first time being here, and Brother Albright said I've lived a sheltered life since I have not been here. Well, I've been stuck in the northern part of Indiana, pastored there in Kokomo for 25 years. And now I'm just doing a little traveling and speaking and just wanting God to lead us. But anyway, it's good to be here and to see many familiar faces. Some of you I've seen at camp for many, many years at the Pilgrim Camp. Brother James and I, we grew up way back in Friends Camp. I mean, years and years ago, we used to throw rocks at each other and hit each other with sticks and had some good days back then when we were just little kids. But I noticed that some of the people that I have grown up with, they have aged. As I have stayed young, they have aged. And I noticed James has aged a little bit. Of course, that might have to do with something with your son's mother-in-law. Probably added a little bit to that. But anyway, it's good to be here, and I trust that God will continue to help us. Good to have his presence already at the very beginning of the service. For the Sunday school, I felt God come, and I know he wants to meet with us this morning. Amen. So let's stand. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, I want to focus on that word ask today, ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. And there's a little phrase I want to use out of James chapter 4, verse 2. You can turn to that. You don't have to, but it's just a little phrase I would like to use out of that verse. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. And what I want to talk to us this morning is doing without. Why so often we do without so much more of what God really wants us to have because we just don't ask him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your presence that we have already sensed today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house on the Sabbath day. We thank you for Sunday, a day that we have to lay aside everything else that might be on our minds and our hearts and to really focus on you and worship you and be together as a family of God. We pray, Lord, today that the Holy Spirit would come and speak to us today through your word. Pray that you would give me freedom and liberty and touch my lips and my heart and give me the anointing that only you could give through the Holy Spirit. And we also pray that every heart here today, that our hearts would be open and our ears that we could understand the truth, and you would speak to us through this lesson, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A quote from Henry Ford. I don't know if you're a Ford guy, Chevy guy, Dodge guy. I'm not going to go there, especially in the country, right? But a quote from Henry Ford, if you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you always got. You know, I like it when important people use the word God. The idea here, as Henry Ford has that quote, the idea here is your desire to change, or want, your desire to want to change in your life must be greater than your desire to remain the same. How boring is that? Just to be what you've always been. Just to remain the same. Your desire to change must be greater than your desire to remain the same if you ever want to change or you ever want to be better than you are today. The same thought applies to us as we, as you and you and you and you and me, as we need God to continually to make changes in our lives. You have not because you ask not. Meaning, if you cannot pause in your life and to seek God diligently and to ask God diligently to help you in your life and make the changes in your life that He wants to make, then you will never have or find your life to be spiritually more than it's already been. Wow, that's a dead-end life. That's a dead-end walk. This is where I am. This is how I have been. This is how much I've grown. And I'm just satisfied just to be like this. I'm satisfied to remain like this. That would be a very discouraging dead-end walk with God to say, this is just where I am. You will never know anything more about God than you already do. God has so much to teach us, to instruct us, and to bless us. We will never have any more from God than we've already got. We will never experience any more than we've already experienced if we don't take time in our lives to say, Lord, I'm not satisfied where I am, and I want to grow spiritually, and I don't want just to remain the same. I want more of God in my life. Wouldn't that be a sad picture for a Christian in his walk with God? That he becomes so complacent in his life. You know, Jesus talked about that. Very rich and increased with goods. And have need of nothing. The lukewarm church, the Laodicean church. We're rich. We're increased with goods. We do our daily devotions. We do these things. We are very content. We're very rich. And we have nothing, no need of anything. And Jesus said, really, to be honest, you're naked and poor and wretched. But wouldn't that be a sad picture for a Christian in his life? They become so complacent in his life spiritually that he feels like he has need of nothing, whether he was 15 or 25 or 45 or 65 or 75, saying, I'm just satisfied where I am. That he doesn't see his need for God to continually to make changes in his life to help him to be more that God wants him to be. So he would go through life here on earth doing without, and that's the title of our lesson, doing without so much more than God ever intended for him to do without. It just might be time for some of us to ask God for help. You have not because you ask not. It might be time for some of us to feel the need to be more for God in our lives than we've ever been, that we don't want to remain the same, and we're to ask God and to seek God for help in our spiritual life. So many times we don't want to admit how much help we really need. So we struggle along without asking God for help. How many has ever heard of Evie Hill? Few. He was one of my favorite black preachers that I used to listen to on cassette. Yeah, remember the old days of cassette, you know? We throw those things out now. We don't have anything to place them. We don't even have one. But anyway, I remember listening to him preach many times, a very, very large black man preaching. And he said he was in Africa preaching, and since that was his native historical background, he said to some of the guys around him, he said, I'm here in the city, and I want to go to real Africa. I'm in the city, and there's skyscrapers, and there's buildings. I want to go to the jungle. I want to go to real Africa. So one afternoon, when they weren't having services, he found a taxi driver that would drive him and to the jungle. And the taxi driver drove him about, 2 hours in the car, and finally gets close to the jungle. And the taxi driver said, I'll take you no further. This is as far as I'll take you. You'll have to go the rest of the way. And so Evie Hill said he got out of the car and he started walking through the jungle. He just wanted to see the jungle. He wanted to see real Africa. He said it wasn't long that he started walking through the jungle, and a native came around a tree, and as he saw the native, it scared him half to death, and he began to run and run and run. He said the native just began to chase him, and he began to run and run, and Evie Hill was a fairly large man, and he ran through the jungle, and finally he said as he was running, he tripped over a log, and he fell flat on his face. And he thought, as he was laying there, he thought, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. This is my last day. It's over. I'm going to die. He says he turns over and looks up at the native. And the native, in perfect English, looks down at him and says, do you need a guide? You know, unfortunately, there are many times that we do exactly the same that Evie Hill did. We try to go through life with really seeking God for help in our lives. That's why we need to ask God for help, to be our guide, to help us. We need help. Because we don't know the way through the jungle. There are dangerous things all along the way in this world when we're going through this world. In fact, Evie Hill said, as the guide took him back to the jungle, the tracks that he had ran through, he said, you know, you ran right through here. There's poisonous snakes here and this is that. He showed him all the dangers that he ran through that jungle without really knowing what the dangers were around him. He did need a guide. And listen, you and I need a guide in this world. We need help. And so we go through life without really seeking God for the help that we really need. We need to stop doing that. That's not a good habit. To try to do things on our own. Try to make it on our own. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. If our desire to change is greater than our desire to remain the same, then we must ask God to help us and to make changes in our lives so we can be what God really wants us to be. I don't know if any of you have listened this week to the convention. How many has listened to the convention? Some. A few. Well, I'm going to steal one of Harry Plank's really popular quote that I thought was good this week. It was a quote about Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. Anybody hear that one? A few of them. Wasn't that good? Well, I grew up on Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. When we were kids, we didn't have technology like they have today. And specifically in the wintertime, we would go to the library every 2 weeks. Why every 2 weeks? Because your books were due every 2 weeks. And so every 2 weeks in the winter, we'd go to the library, and I'd grab every book I could. And I didn't like to read a lot, but I liked to look through the pictures. And sometimes when I was young, Mom would read the books for us, set us by her side and read those books to us. And so I remember a lot of Winnie and the Pooh Piglet books. But this is what Harry Plank said the other day, and I thought it was really good and applies to this message about asking for help. Piglet says to Pooh, "Pooh, what's the bravest thing you have ever said?" And Pooh said, "Help." You get it? What's the bravest saying you have ever said? Help. You know, it takes a real man, a real woman, to realize when we need help. Instead of trying to do it on our own, tackle on our own, think we can handle on our own, it takes a real man to say, "God, I need help. I really need help. I don't want to just remain who I am and status quo in my spiritual walk or in my life. I truly want to be a saint of God, and I want to be all that you would have me to be, and I need help. Help, Lord." It's probably the bravest and most important thing you and I can ever say, because God doesn't turn away a contrite, broken spirit when we say, "Lord, I need help." Sometimes we think we've got this. Sometimes we think we can do this. But the bravest saying possible we can do is ask God for help. Just maybe it's time that we start asking God for help. Help for God to make new changes in us. We sing that chorus, or at least our church sang that chorus. "Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray." That's a good song. If this truly is our desire, and we want God to make changes in us, then we must ask. James says, "You have not, because simply you don't ask." If we do not want to do without what God wants to do for us, then we must ask. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Jesus, in these scripture verses, is admonishing his children to persistently to turn to God regularly for help. Not just on Sunday mornings, but to persistently seek God in his or her life for him to continue to help him be what God wants him to be. "Ye have not because ye ask not." There's many other scriptures, and we won't read all of them, but I will give you a few. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Somebody, one person say amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things pleasing in his sight." 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." 1 John chapter 5, verse 15, And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Not to be repetitious, but if we really, 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 maybe one more really, want God to make drastic changes in our lives, and we desire to be changed more than we desire to remain the same, then we must ask God to begin to make changes in us. You have not because you ask not. Well, someone might say, well, Brother Line, don't you know that I am saved and I'm entirely sanctified? Now, hold on before I finish my little phrase here. But can we stop saying it like that and thinking like that? Can we? Because of course it's important that we have, vitally important that we have two works of grace in our lives. But to be honest, that's just the foundation of a good spiritual life. That's where God's work begins in us. He has a whole lot of changing to do in our life since now we are fully surrendered to him. We say, I'm fully surrendered. I've given him everything. Well, praise the Lord. Then since you've fully surrendered to God everything, and since you've given him everything, boy, does he have a playground to work on. Boy, does he have an opportunity to work in your life because you're fully surrendered. He has a lot he wants to do. Before we get entirely sanctified, God has an awful time trying to make changes in us because our will is resisting him at many times. Make sense? But when we become entirely sanctified, God says, oh, his heart is fully surrendered to me now. Now he's given me everything. And now I can just work on him and work on him and work on him and make changes in him and make changes in him and make him what I want him to be. And so I'm going to mold and shape and teach and mold and shape, and he's not going to resist me, and I'm going to mold him into being a saint of God. I'm going to mold him into be a man of prayer. I'm going to mold him into be a great witness. I'm going to mold him into be something great for me because now I have his all. When we get entirely sanctified, he has a lot of work to do on me. And he has a lot of work to do on you. And in order for him to do that, we must ask him. God wants to make us. Listen, if you start serving God when you're 15, or 20, or 30, when you're 85, if you live that long, you ought to be a saint of God. You ought to be on fire for God. You ought to have a glorious testimony. You ought to be what everybody looks up to and says, what a powerful saint of God. Because for 45, 50 years, God has molded and shaped and molded and shaped that person into a great man or a great woman of God over all these years. That's truly a beautiful, sanctified life. Listen, many times we have not because we ask not. Many times we're not what we ought to be is because our desire to change is not greater than our desire to remain just who we've always been. And to be honest, that's a very boring walk with God. That's a very boring walk with God. I don't like to do anything that comes to. I like to have something that I can always reach for. I like to do things in my life that I can always do better or increase. It's very boring just to go through life just being who I've always been. And walking with God, there's never a dead end. You think God runs out of grace and power and work on this? He never runs out. He never runs. It's God. It's God that's full of joy and peace and holiness and righteousness and truth and understanding and wisdom. And as we walk with God, God wants to continue to make amazing changes in our lives. But we have to want it. We have to desire it. And we have to ask. James says, you have not because you ask not. And Jesus said, if you ask according to my will, I'll give it to you. You think God doesn't want us to be greater in him? Of course he does. Of course he does. You don't think God wants us to be a greater influence in the world that we live in? Of course he does. You don't think God doesn't want us to be a greater blessing? Of course he does. You don't think God wants us to spread more of his joy in this dark, empty world? Of course he does. You don't think God wants us to live in a life of peace? Of course he does. Of course he does. And that's who God is. When I was working on this message, I thought, well, what are some things that would be good for us to ask? And I thought of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord, actually Jesus, gave us some wonderful things in his prayer to ask. In fact, I pray this prayer regularly. This isn't the only thing I say every day, but I love praying the Lord's Prayer. Seems like if you start off your prayer with the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Seems like it just opens up the channel sometimes. Many times I've struggled in getting clear, open with God, and just stop and just say that prayer. It seems like it just opens up the air, the atmosphere. Jesus prayed this prayer, told us to pray the prayer, and one of the things he told us to ask for is thy kingdom come. The last time I checked, we're here, not on his kingdom. We're here in this earth, dealing with all kinds of problems and difficulties and struggles. We're in a dark world. Anybody agree with that? Raise your hand. We're in a dark world. And the last time I checked, we're in a mess here. We're in big trouble. And we are in need of an assistance from another world besides this world. God's people need help. We need help. We need revival. We need God to work. We need help. We can't fix things in ourselves. We can't create revival in ourselves. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we're in need of God coming into our lives. We're in need of God stepping in and making a difference in our lives. It's time we realize that more than ever. I see a religious world in dire need of God's kingdom coming to this earth, of God's presence, of God's power, of God's glory. We need change quickly. We need change. Many people need change from religious people to godly people. We need the kingdom of God to come. We need the graces of God to come. We need his love and his peace, his purity, his truth, his wisdom, his kindness, his joy, his power, his holiness. That's what we need. So one of the things that we could ask as God's children, as we could ask, Lord, thy kingdom come. We need you, Lord. We need you. I read a quote the other day. To live by the ways of heaven is to find peace here on earth. And we need God in our lives to bring peace. You need the kingdom to continue to come in this church. As a family of God, we need God's kingdom to come. To get our eyes focused on him. We will only experience true change when God comes on the scene. So what do we need to ask God? God, we need your kingdom to come. We can't come to where you are at. But we need you to come. I put this song in it. Doesn't really apply maybe to exactly the whole thought, but I want to read it. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day I shall never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. What was happening in this song? Somebody reached out and touched another kingdom to come. And the kingdom of God came down, and heaven came down, and glory filled his soul and made the difference. And that's what we as God's people need, is the kingdom of God to come and minister unto our lives like he's never ministered before. Amen? I'm about ready to say praise the Lord. We have not because we ask not. So we don't want to remain the same like we've always just been. We desire change more than remaining the same. We want change more than remaining the same. So therefore we ask our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come to us in our lives. Second thing that Jesus told us to ask is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we willing to pray that prayer knowing that God's will is so often so much different than ours? In fact, in my short years of living and walking with the Lord, I find I get it wrong about 99% of the time. What I think God's going to do, or how he's going to do it, or how he should do it. I don't. Maybe you're right all the time, but I find myself being wrong. And I find out that God always has a better plan, and God knows how to do it. And the best thing is for me is to let God's will happen in my life, no matter what. Are we willing to allow God's differences with us to change us? You say, well, as far as I know, everything, I'm just peachy. Well, maybe you should talk to the Lord. Because I'm just sure that God has some things that he wants to teach you, maybe even now, and maybe 6 months, and 2 years from now, and maybe 10 years from now. God's never done teaching. And so, we must be willing to allow God's differences with us to change us. Sure, surely we recognize our individuality and that God wants to make changes in who we are. We all have different personalities. We all have different makeups. We're all made different. And so what changes God wants to make in you, he might not need to make in me. Same goes with all of us. But God knows our individuality, and he wants to constantly make changes in us. One of my pet peeves is when I hear somebody say, that's just who I am. That's one of my pet peeves. I got 50 pet peeves, and that is in the top 50. When somebody says, oh, that's just my makeup. That's just who I am. I'm just grouchy. I'm just grumpy. I'm just irritable. I'm rude sometimes. Sometimes I just say it like it is, and I don't care about people's feelings. Really? Sometimes I gossip. Sometimes I do. Really? To say that's just who I am is saying I am more satisfied to remain who I am than to allow God to change me into who he wants me to be. I don't want to just be who I am. I want to be what God wants me to be. And when I pray the prayer, thy will be done on earth, thy will be done in me, means that God wants to make some changes in my life. And God has some differences with my opinion and my will and his will. And as I'm walking with him, God wants to constantly work and move to make me be what he wants me to be. I don't think there's a greater thing to ask God in your life than to say, Lord, thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. That is probably going to mean some sacrifices for his name's sake. That's probably going to mean that you're going to have to make some adjustments and make some changes and give up some things or do some things, or do more for him. I don't know. So more than likely means that God is waiting and wanting to make changes in all of us in order for his will to be done in us. Does that make sense? Repeat that. It means it's more than likely that God is waiting and wanting to make changes in our lives in order for his will to be done in our lives. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Jesus prayed these words, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Isn't that beautiful? We have not because we ask not. So today we ask our Father, more than anything in the world, I want your will to be done in me. I'm going to hurry on before all of you fall asleep. Another one that Jesus taught us to pray is to give us this day our daily bread. And when we say that we seem like we're out of touch with that, because there's not one of us worried about what we're going to go home to eat. There's not all of us have probably fixed a pretty good dinner. We don't worry about what shoes we're going to wear or what clothes we're going to wear, because all of us probably could afford to go in our closet and get half of it out and take it to Goodwill so we would have room for our other stuff. So when we say, give us our daily bread, give us our day our daily bread, we're saying, well, that doesn't really fit in our 2020 year. But to be honest, there's a whole lot more things than we need than earthly things. We need things like his power, his strength, his anointing, his protection. We need mental and emotional healing and physical healing. We need spiritual renewal. There's a lot of the earthly things we have. But because we have so much earthly, a lot of times we're missing out on a lot of things that God wants to have for us to have spiritually for our lives. So it's very important. Jesus wants us to learn to depend upon him regularly for our needs, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. The list goes on. You might not need clothes on your back today, but I guarantee you there's a lot of you, and me included, that need God in many other ways. So we need to pray for God to give us our daily needs in our walk with him. The next one's interesting, and I'm going to close with this one. Usually when I say I close, everybody is a little sleepy, starts waking up thinking, I can get up now. I'm just teasing. Jesus taught us to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, we don't like to this because sometimes this don't maybe fit in our theology, so we're uncomfortable with this thought, but let me explain it. None of us are past asking God to forgive us. I'm not talking about rebellious, willful sin against God, but I am talking about who you are and who I am. And to think that we don't need at times to ask God to forgive us, then we're just like the Pharisees. Just like them. Because they were good at keeping the outside of their cup really clean and looking good. But they never kept the inside clean. Sometimes we need to ask God to forgive us in order to keep our inside clean, like it ought to be. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe a critical spirit. Maybe a judgmental spirit. Maybe quick to judge. Maybe a lack of long-suffering. Maybe a lack of loving people or reaching out to people. Maybe short on kindness. Maybe unmerciful. So many times we have not because we ask not. And it's good for us to every once in a while say, Lord, I want to stay really clear between me and you. I don't want to say that's just who I am. That's just my attitude. That's just my makeup. That's just who I am. I want to make sure, Lord, that everything is forgiven, that I'm clear, that I'm living the Christian life that you want me to live, because there's nothing more important in my life than to please you in my life. I'm going to skip the rest of them. I'm just going to tell you, I'll just say the points. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We need that today. Thy kingdom, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So in closing, referring back to some of our opening statements we made, in order to have change in our life, we must desire change more than just staying the same. So therefore, we must pause in our life and ask God to help us so he can make the necessary changes in our life. Because if we don't stop and we don't seek God for help, remember, the bravest saying you can ever say is not, I got this. The bravest saying you can ever say is help. Because you want help. Because you don't want to stay the same. Because if we don't stop and ask God for help in our lives, we will continue to go through life doing without so much more than God ever intended for us to do without. God says, I have all this for you. But you got to ask and you got to seek for it. But if you don't ask and seek, you don't get all the wonderful blessings of walking in this world with God like you ought. Doing without so much more than God ever intended for us to do without. So what do we have to do? Ask. Ask God for help. Let's stand. Anybody know I want more of Jesus? Do we know that? Can somebody play that? Let's play that. Let's close it off with that. I don't know if this is your next step, but can I close in a chorus? I want more of Jesus more than I ever had before. More and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his great love. So one more time. Praise God. Oh, I want more of Jesus. And more. Praise God. I want more of Jesus. Listen. Than I've ever had. Change. So rich, so full, so free. I want more Jesus. So I'll give him more of me. Praise God. Brother Albright dismisses in prayer, please.